Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium-ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mike Swanson, editor of WallStreetWindow.com. Welcome back to the show, Mike.
Oh, it's great to talk with you.
Mike, do you worry when the markets continually keep hitting a record high? Do you think, oh my God, is this sustainable? Is there going to be a crash?
Well, I'm actually a little worried at this point. I wasn't at the beginning of the year. The market made a new high right before New Year's, not an all-time high, but you know the rally was doing very well, and we got a pullback the first week or so of January, and some people were actually worried then, but I wasn't one of them. I saw back then that the market was overbought coming into the year in regards to a lot of technical indicators I use, such as the RSI indicator had been the most overbought, actually, according to that, the S&P, that is, and the NASDAQ, in over 2 years. Now, that didn't suggest to me the rally was over, though, because that was the only warning sign I saw. And typically, that would lead to a pause, a consolidation in the market, and then a move up. And that's really what we got. And so that was normal. But at this point, I am concerned for different reasons that are more important. And that is that we have seen many of the big cap stocks gap up and soar. NVIDIA in particular is on a complete tear, going just about parabolic. IBM had a big, huge gap up on earnings. And so did Meta, the Facebook company. And those stocks, especially Facebook and NVIDIA, they heavily weight the market averages, and now other people on television are calling them part of the so-called Magnificent Seven. Years ago it was FANG, now it's Magnificent Seven. And what that signifies is a small group of stocks that are outperforming the averages and are so big that they themselves are helping the market go up. And what I'm concerned about is that since the beginning of the year, and I didn't really notice this till earlier last week, but since the beginning of the year, the internals of the market have been weakening. What this means is that the stocks inside the stock market as a whole have not been participating in the rally. The percentage of stocks, for example, above the 20-day moving average is now lower than it was to start the year. The same is the case for the 50-day moving average, and the same is the case for the 200-day moving average. And not only that, but over the past 7-10 days, as the market averages have made this new high, as incredible excitement is talked about every 5 minutes about NVIDIA on television, these internal indicators have actually gotten worse. They're lower now than they were 7 days ago. Now, in 2022, for months, I was making note that the same thing was happening. At that time, also, the advanced decline line was going down. And I was saying in 2022 that this was a yellow alert And I mean, I'll start saying this in the summer, perhaps late spring, 2022. This was a yellow alert, and it was going to turn into a new bear market at some point and a complete stock market debacle. Now, I can't say that now. I'm not saying that now because what happened in 2022, you know, when I was saying that, it had already been going on for almost half a year, and it continued for the entire rest of the year, and then things went into a bear market. We're only seeing this happen for really what will be 5 weeks now. And typically, you know, if we're really, in, you know, topping out, this will go on for months. What my takeaway, though, about all this is that I'm not saying we're starting a new bear market. I'm not saying the stock market is making the ultimate top for a long time. But what I do think this suggests is that we're now set, not for a short-term consolidation sideways that didn't, you know, not much of a decline like we saw in the first 2-3 weeks of January, but something bigger, something that will last longer. I could see the market entering a sideways phase soon that could last until the spring, perhaps last until the Federal Reserve raises interest rates. That pullback hasn't even started yet because, as we're speaking, the S&P is only 2 points off the high. But I think it can begin at any moment, and I'm taking a much more cautious approach now in the stock market than I have for probably 6 months. I see no reason I think it's time just to wait, see what happens, buy on dips, sell on rips. And to me, this is a rip, and I took some money off the table in some of the stocks that I bought last year. And I think we can easily see a pullback to the 50-day moving average, perhaps even the 150-day moving average in the next couple months. And if there's got to be some explanation, which if a pullback happens, one will be delivered to people besides, you know, the things I'm talking about, which are the market structure, the explanation will be simple. It will be that the Federal Reserve is not lowering interest rates quick enough as had been expected, and people will begin to not only want the interest rate cuts, but they'll start demanding them on TV, all across the internet, craving the interest rate cuts, demanding them to make their stocks go back up and make everything do well going into the election.
But aren't they keeping the interest rates up to keep inflation under control?
Well, that's what they're supposed to do. And when Jerome Powell started the hiking cycle 2 years ago, he said that he was going to raise interest rates until inflation went down to 2% annualized CPI and not lower the interest rates even until there are signs of economic weakness, perhaps even a recession, because he thought that it would be important to keep interest rates up for a period of time to ensure that inflation hit the 2% target and the fear people have that inflation would turn would go away, saying that in the 1970s that the Fed didn't do that. They would, you know, the inflation would come down, they'd immediately cut, then it would explode again. He didn't want to repeat those mistakes. That's what he said 2 years ago. Now he's completely abandoning that talk. He did away with it in December, and he was on 60 Minutes this past weekend saying that while they're not going to lower rates in March, he flat out said mid-year they're looking to lower interest rates, and there's no sign of economic weakness at all. So when you look at the economy, it's not justified one bit. But I think that the Federal Reserve is doing it, or wants to do it, for political reasons, because I think at this point, being an election year, it fears that if there is the start of recession going into the election, they'll get blamed for it. Or if the stock market pulls back, voters that own stocks will become extremely furious and maybe the president will call him and demand interest rate cuts bigger than he would want to do if he cuts earlier before there are any signs of trouble. Of course, the danger is that premature interest rate cuts will end up resulting, if there is no recession, in an explosion in inflation, maybe not this year, but next year. Then they'll just have to raise the rates even higher than they already been. So, you know, we're really looking at a mess in the future due to this. I don't, you know, but for now, I think the market's going to go sideways, have some sort of bigger pullback than we saw earlier this year, and then probably make new highs after that. So I think that, you know, I really think that's where we're headed. But after that new high, you know, we're going to be having to measure this situation now month by month, because if the market, you know, consolidates, makes another big rally in the summer or the fall, and the internal participation is poor, then we'll be looking at a high risk rally that will result in a decline we haven't seen, you know, probably since 2022. You know, a bigger decline than any of the ones we've seen since then, I should say.
We'll have more with Mike Swanson right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mike Swanson. Mike, do you believe there are billions of dollars sitting on the sidelines waiting for a market downturn to pick up some bargains?
Well, I think if the money, we saw a lot of money come into the market in December and so far this year, going into stock funds and a lot going into the bond market and CDs, and I suspect a lot of that is coming out from the money market funds. But I think a lot of people in the United States, I mean, polls say this, are very uneasy about the financial markets and the economy, even though right now everything is okay. Inflation, the rate of inflation has come down from where it was. The economy is doing better so far this year than just about anyone expected, myself included. You know, the yield curve has been inverted now for over 12 months, the most reliable indicator of recession, and there's been no recession yet. The GDP, according to the St. Louis Fed, they're projecting currently the first quarter growth at 4%. The stock market at, you know, new all-time highs. It's been better than anyone thought it would, you know, a year ago when we were talking back and after the bear market 22 ended. But people are uneasy. They're uneasy because we have seen wild volatility in the past couple of years. We saw the market crash in March 2020. We saw inflation explode unlike it's been since the 1970s. And we've seen strange things in the economy. And it is confusing. And people feel uncertain. They feel uncertain because of the horrible global situation, the wars in the Middle East, the wars in Ukraine and Russia, and the presidential election itself in the United States is a lot of uncertainty. You know, the last time there was an election, a lot of people got angry and they went to Washington, D.C., and they marched on the Capitol, got inside, went wild. And half the country thinks that was justified, and half the people think those were in so-called insurrectionists against the Constitution. And both sides are scared of each other, and the uncertainty is going to win. So I think this plays into how people view the markets, too, and makes them afraid to do much. So I think a lot of people are going to keep the money that they got in the money market, as they've been doing, because they feel this way. I don't think that's the right decision for them to make. But I think that's what a lot of these people are, unfortunately for them, going to do. I think they should buy dips. I think they should lock in the current yields they can get on CDs or bonds, because when the Fed does lower rates, the yields they get on those money market funds are going to fall. I don't think a lot of these people even may know that. And perhaps just as important or more important, most people, well, I think people should have positions in gold and silver and precious metals, and almost no one does in the United States. I think they should, because to me, that's the most stable investment to actually have, more stable than stocks, more stable than bonds, because when the market crashed in 2020, gold only went down like 12%, and the S&P 500 fell over 30%, and gold came back faster. Gold is less volatile than the stock market, and gold is a source, it's a safe haven that goes up in times of turmoil. So if there is another bear market, if there are higher interest, you know, inflation explodes again, gold's what you're going to want to have as a lifeline in your portfolio. So just having all your money in money markets, I don't think it's such a smart idea.
What do you think's going to happen with the U.S. dollar?
Well, I think, right now, the dollar's come down to where it was in October. It's had a little bit of a bounce from the start of the year to now, up around 4%. That bounce has been, I would say, associated with the change in the view of how many interest rates are coming this year and when. The markets, the Fed fund futures and the markets as a whole, were overestimating the number of cuts. And also thinking they'd start in March, and that's, now we're likely to get fewer in May or June. So the dollar has had a bounce because of that. But I think when they start lowering rates, or if a recession materializes later this year, I think the dollar is going to really start to decline and gold's going to go up. So the going this year, as we're speaking, I think the single thing I'm the most bullish on, not just for where it might be at the end of the year, but the next year, couple years after, is gold. So I think gold is what I'm most bullish on going forward here.
Anything else we should be keeping a close eye on?
Well, I think people should be patient the rest of February. That's what I'm doing. I'm not looking to make any big trades this month. I don't care if the S&P goes up another 50 points or even 100 points. At this point, I think, like I said earlier, sell the rips and buy the dips and just wait. And I think that goes, if there's a little bit of a pullback in gold, I think gold's a buy. It seems to be holding solidly above 2000. And then it's 200-day moving average is right at 1980. So, and we're not high above that. So I think any dips to 2000 or perhaps to 1980 would be very short-lived, and those are buying opportunities.
Mike, thanks so much for chatting with us.
Thank you. Great to talk to you.
My guest has been Mike Swanson, editor of WallStreetWindow.com. If you have any questions for Mike or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HouseStreet.com. Find us on X at House Street. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HouseStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HouseStreet.com Radio is a production of House Street Media Incorporated.